4. Safe from Inquisitors. As Vox had hoped, they encountered nobody who tried to stop them. "Ha!" the young brother said when they rounded yet another corner. "Tiberius is a genius when it comes to working out tactical routes. Just give him a map and a day. There's the last corner. We walk from there, unless somebody shoots. In that case, please take cover behind me."
"How likely is this?" Titus inquired.
"Unlikely." Vox put him down, and he tried to move as nonchalantly as he could while being aware that he was still wearing nothing but a bolt pistol.
"Didn't he say gate 3?
Titus tried to distract himself as they approached Hangar 11.
"Well spotted, Captain. Hangar 11 was the third we considered when planning."
The armored bulk of Tiberius was waiting for them in front of a shuttle. Bolter at the ready, he was scanning the surroundings through his helmet. He ushered them in without delay. Inside the ship, Dankwart greeted them with a nod. The apothecary was sitting next to an orderly pile of battered blue and golden armor and a black jump pack. Tiberius followed them directly, and as soon as he had entered the pilot's seat, they took off. This surprised Titus. Persuading a machine spirit to function properly usually involved lengthy rites and praises to the Omnissiah. He had never seen any Tegmarine neglecting them. Vox winked at him.
"It's an escape vessel, Captain. He made it ready beforehand."
"Are you reading my thoughts?"
Titus asked with a laughing frown.
"I can't read your mind, Captain. Your face now," he added, grinning when Titus shot him a critical look.
"Could someone explain to me what's going on here?"
The captain decided to dismiss this topic. Before anyone had time to answer, however, Tiberius left the cockpit.
"Excuse me for a moment, Captain,"
he asked politely, but refrained from waiting for Titus' permission.
"Vox, we are on course."
"Do we have enough time?" Thedabran asked.
"Probably. I had word from the Life of Blood," he added,
and his third arm made a small, tense gesture.
"Captain Ollivan confirmed pursuit."
"May the Emperor protect them." A stern glance and a nod passed between the comrades. Then Vox turned back to Titus. The young man's face lit up with a mischievous smile.
"All right, Captain. You ordered explanations. Would you take your armor aside dish?"
"Yes, thank you," Titus said woodenly. "Weapons to follow, if you please."
"As far as we could find out, the Ultramarines retrieved your weapons about 2 years ago, Captain,"
Tiberius informed him.
"We only have standard-issue equipment for you. Sorry about this."
"Not your fault,"
Titus said despondently. Then his brain kicked in. Ultramarines had been on the Fall of Angels? Had they come for more than just weaponry and been forced to leave with only arms? They had left his armor. Maybe somebody had hoped he would need it again. His thoughts went further. A kill team of the Death Watch had gotten through to him after this. Titus lifted a sharp gaze to them, and it dawned on him that these people had really learned how to tailor their information output. This time, the other two wore their helmets, and the face he could see gave nothing away. Maybe apart from this slight amusement, but that seemed to be a baseline with Vox.
"Thank you for the forethought,"
Titus tested the matter with an inquiring look into the librarian's eyes. All he got was a bundle of cloth, for which he handed the bolt pistol back. They all wore pants and a long-sleeved tunic under their armor. The tightly fitted, flexible fabric left the contacts of the black carapace free. Titus slipped into them, and while it was pleasant to be covered up, he was again reminded of how much his body had suffered since he had last worn it. The material rippled and hung off him like dead skin. The memories of what had happened when he had last worn the armor were no better. "Let's start with a summary of names," Vox began the briefing. "The Fall of Angels is the ship of Thrax."
"I know,"
Titus said bitterly, and watched as Tiberius started to call the Machine God's blessing down on his armor. "The Lawbringer is the ship of Inquisitor Larrace," Vox continued. "We're headed for it now. The Life of Blood is the ship that's taking Leandro's gene seed to Ultramar.
He's dead?
Titus asked in surprise. Yes, he was the one telling us about you, Vox confirmed, and swung the jump pack onto his back. Resting it against the wall, he managed to click it into place. I'll tell you the story later, I promise. Now, what was I saying? Oh, yes. To get you out, we had to prove that the accusations against you have been false, which they were, since Leandros really did believe what the demon said. The problem we are facing now is that Lorraes can be a bit tricky when it comes to chaotic taint. I transmitted our conversation in your cell directly to her. Your answers, together with my pledge that you have only very weak ties to the warp, were enough to accuse Thrax of heresy. While Vox talked, Tiberius and Dankwart worked steadily. Piece by piece, the captain welcomed his long dispensed with armor. You have to know that Lorraes usually plays strictly by the rules. But although she's Autoxenos, she has issues with chaos. She tends to cleanse things properly in a wide radius and more often than not preemptively. She mustn't kill us, because she's under obligation to bring us back to the Death Watch in one piece, but we expected her to order the destruction of the Life of Blood as soon as you were on board. Therefore, we didn't tell her of the message for you, and warned Captain Olivan that he might have to take off in a hurry. As soon as you confirmed that he would stay with us, I voxed him to depart. Dear Lorraes is annoyingly good at disguising her schemes. If she has failed, you usually don't know. We're doing a lot of freaky stuff right now to be on the safe side. For most of it, we won't ever know if it was necessary.
Having the Life of Blood confirm pursuit must be a real win,
Titus commented with a half-smile. He had become immersed in what Vox was telling him. Too long had he missed thinking strategically. And although this was far too political for his taste, he nevertheless found that he enjoyed following along. It's very satisfying to hit something when you're otherwise only punching fog, yes, Vox confirmed. Titus tried to digest all the information.
How did you find out about the robe?
He asked. Didn't you notice Tiberius scanning you before he gave you the message?
No, that escaped me.
For some reason, Lorraes wants to know where you are, Vox said, and bitterness crept over his narrow lips. So far, people she wanted to know the whereabouts of have ended up dead.
A prospect I cannot relish for some reason,
Titus said ironically. Neither can we, Vox assured him. The last piece of armor handed to Titus was his helmet. He put it on himself like the ritual demanded, and Vox followed his example. To make sure it doesn't come this far, the young man continued over speaker, we're transferring you to the Lawbringer. You and I will leave the shuttle before we dock and find our way to one of the pressure doors. Tiberius will open it for us while Dankwart contacts Arioch to inform them that you are with us and we are en route. Then, we'll tell Lorraes that you are joining the Death Watch and that the Commander knows. With any luck, this will be enough for her to leave you alone. She can be very official. If we're fast enough, we might even beat her to destroying the Fall of Angels.
May the Omnissiah watch over you,
Tiberius concluded the ritual, and handed Titus Bolter, Bolt Pistol, and Chainsword. Falling back into the long-practiced movements, the captain put them away on their appropriate joists. Despite these weapons not being of the standard he was used to, it felt good to be armed again.
I didn't find any obvious leaks in the armor, Captain, Tiberius informed him. It should be fit for space, but I have to tell you that its condition is rather alarming.
Yes. For some reason, Thrax didn't allow me to tend to it, Titus said darkly.
They synchronized their voxes while Tiberius quickly performed the proper rites for Vox's jump pack. Afterwards, the Tech Marine returned to the cockpit and answered the communication that had just reached them. He identified himself and Dankwart, and received docking instructions from the Lawbringer.
So, let me sum this up. You stole me from the Fall of Angels. We are going to infiltrate the Lawbringer. And you think Lorraes will not take steps as soon as she hears that I'm joining the Death Watch?
Amusement crept into Titus' features. If this worked, it would be a nice coup indeed. Don't worry, Captain, Vox said happily. Things only get this twisted when I do the leading.
You're not the usual leader.
No, Vox replied lightly, and handed him his lifeline to clip to Titus' belt.
This surprises me,
Titus prompted when the brother did not explain.
A mannerism of the Death Watch, Captain,
Tiberius said in Vox's stead, while numerous lights started to blink all over the ship's interior. Titus' autosensors told him that the oxygen levels were dropping rapidly.
When a kill team consists only of battle brothers, we are allowed to choose our leader for each mission. Vox was the obvious choice for this one. Now you two get going. We have slowed down enough.
The door opened. Vox turned to Dankwart for a moment before they left. How long do you think?
4 hours, the apothecary answered curtly.
They exchanged nods, and Titus followed Vox outside, clinging to the hull of the shuttle. They still were subject to the gravitational field of their vessel, and had to pull themselves up to the roof. Or rather, Vox had to pull both of them. The Lawbringer loomed up before them, glorious and ornate like every larger ship the Imperium of Man would build. By the size and general layout of her, Titus estimated her to be an Orion-class star clipper. Slowly and deliberately, her shadow engulfed them. In the soothing blackness of the hull, a brightly lit hangar opened to admit the shuttle.
Lead on, brother,
Titus encouraged Vox to signal that he gave him lead. Shortly afterwards, he realized that the Librarian had made no attempts to take him into account so far. As he thought this, he was amazed by the amiability with which the young man had managed to carry out this kind of insubordination. Even considering the lapses in their private conversation, he had been so friendly and easygoing in his demeanor that it had smoothly concealed the outright disrespect for Titus' rank. Even now he ignored him unobtrusively as he scanned the Lawbringer's flank with an attentive gaze. Finally, he offered a hand. Titus took it, and they jumped, pushing away into weightlessness. Casually, Vox pulled him closer, and for the second time within less than an hour, Titus found himself in the young brother's arms. It was done so gently that it took him a few seconds to realize it. He even found that he had unthinkingly mimicked the embrace. The sheer awkwardness of the situation made him lose his threat entirely. He was at a complete loss as to what to do while Vox maneuvered them along the flank of the ship. After a while, Titus just pretended that this was how space marines traveled through the void when only one of them had the means to navigate. He had to admit that it was a bit more pleasant and dignifying than dangling behind his brother on the lifeline. Vox took them quite far away from the hangar entrance. The Gothic turrets towards the stern loomed above them, marking the location of the chapel and the bridge. Finally, they touched down on a spot of the hull which was not built of stone, but steel. Their mag boots connected, and their armors picked up signals from the ship, making them accessible via their autosensors. The time of day on the Lawbringer was 1600 hours.
Now we just wait until Tiberius has chosen our door, Vox informed him.
Good. You owe me a story.
I will tell you, Captain, the Librarian said warmly. Gladly so if you want me to, but please do me a favor and consider this. The journey to Arioch takes more than 2 months. Plenty of time for stories. Right now we have time for you to sleep. It's easy to guard you here, and we don't know when you'll next get the chance. Dankwart prepared your armor, but the 4 hours he just specified is the longest he thinks the healing will last. Titus frowned behind his helmet.
Sleep? Now?
But as this thought flickered by, Vox reached out a hand for him. And before he knew it, he had reached back. He felt a gentle pressure through his gauntlet.
You're not alone in the darkness anymore.
Titus was tall for a space marine. Considerably taller than Vox. In his mostly black Corvus armor, the young man was also more slender. But somehow, Here. In the silence of the void and the darkness of the ship's shadow, he managed to fill all immediate space and make it secure. The captain found the strength to nod before he let down. The gravity out here was weak, but enough to let him sink to the surface while the comrades stood guard over him. It felt like eons since Titus had slept in armor. It was soothing and comfortable and a blessing in itself. He had hardly time to thank the Emperor for it before the warm blackness of sleep enveloped him. On the edge of consciousness, the material difference a few hours had made dawned on him. Vox was right. Not alone anymore. What a change.